request, and I think it's like $6 million. And I met with Wims. He's over, I forgot the office that he's over, but that is one of the areas that, we're pushing for, because we realize if, you know, we have 70% female, over 70% of those females have children. We need a child care center. The dollar amount being, you know, approximately $6 million plus, that's something that we have to get from the state. So, you know, that's one of our top priorities with the state.
Any other questions? Thank you, Dr. Stack.
First action item is the recommendation that was forwarded to Dr. Watson and now to the board for consideration is the awarding of tenure for our current dean for the College of Pharmacy, Dr. Miriam Mobley Smith, who is a full professor. The faculty have recommended her highly for this rank, as well as staff. She meets all of the criteria that is provided in the DAC that was recently developed, which is the department application criteria, which really serves as a blueprint for how faculty will be considered for rank and tenure. There is a resolution to this regard, and this recommendation is now being forwarded to you.
Great. Is there a motion to recommend to the full board the approval of granting of tenure for Dr. Miriam Mobley Smith?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
Second action item.
We need to
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Anderson.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
I don't believe that Mr. Anderson votes on this.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Nonetheless, just to clarify that. Okay, and we one more item.
Okay. Second item for consideration is the awarding of the title Professor Emeritus for Robert Meeker. Professor Meeker has been with Chicago State University in the library for more than 25 years. He is highly valued. The faculty and staff have recommended him, the dean of the library, as well as staff. And I think the statement that really speaks to his character amongst the many contributions that he has made, he's really moved the library to digitization, which he has moved us into the 21st century. But the, I wanted to just read this because it really sums up who he is. I thought I had it. Oh, maybe I don't. But anyway, he talks about his love for Chicago State, but more importantly, that he's made a difference in when students would come in and would be clueless as to where to go in terms of finding resources within the library. He comments on it would make his day to know that on a daily basis that a student would walk away with a smile because they had been helped. And I mean, I wish I could read it and put my, but I did mark it, but I was really touched when I read that because he didn't have to write it, but this is someone that I personally highly respect. And you may or may not remember, but on a number of occasions, he's even stepped in. He never wanted to become dean of the library, but each time when there was a vacancy, he would step in and serve as the interim on numerous occasions. So I've recommended to Dr. Watson, he has accepted my recommendation that he be bestowed with this title of Professor emeritus.
Is there a motion that we recommend to the full board?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Westbrooks. Next is enrollment and retention update. Mrs. Henderson?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's report will focus on a few organizational changes for the enrollment management team, including the personnel changes. I also will provide an update on our enrollment figures, our retention figures, and our graduation figures to date. Regarding our instructional changes, I've included in the packet some of the key areas that will now fall under enrollment management. We'll continue to include enrollment services. We also have the student services area, marketing and communications, alumni affairs, and research and development. Some recent changes include that the Office of Career and Planning was moved to the Human Resources area. That move was done to connect career development with HR and to really better enhance the career and workforce planning services available to our entire student population. That move was effective September 1st. Another structural move that has occurred this fiscal or this fall semester is that our graduate admissions office has moved or consolidated under our undergraduate or with our undergraduate admissions office. In the past, we had a separate admissions office for the graduates and a separate admissions office for undergrad. These two areas will work together under the direction of the Director of Admissions, Mr. Matthew Harrison, and they will collaborate with the Provost's office and the deans of the colleges to effectively serve the students coming in under undergraduate and graduate admissions. Some personnel changes that have occurred since the last board meeting include Ms. Cherie Sidney has become the Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management. Effectively, she will be responsible for helping to serve and lead the additional areas under enrollment management, but most specifically, she will spend a lot of time working with admissions, registration, and evaluation, and financial aid. We've also hired a new Dean of Student Affairs, Dr. Teresa McKinney. Dr. Teresa McKinney brings over 13 years of experience in higher education and student services. She started September 1st and she's already hit the ground running. Her responsibilities will include the Director of Student Activities or Student Activities. She'll be responsible for the residential hall as well as the Latino and African American resource centers. We also have a new Director of Marketing and Communications, Ms. Sabrina Land. And Ms. Sabrina Land brings over 10 years of experience in marketing and communications as well. And as we are in the transition of not outsourcing marketing and communications and PR, and we've moved it in-house, we have attracted new talent to Chicago State University in these areas. And so Sabrina is our marketing and communications director, and we have a director of public relations and communications, Ms. Deborah Douglas, who has over 22 years of experience in public relations, media experience, and marketing. We've also hired a research coordinator, Mr. William Sanders. Mr. Sanders brings over 10 years of experience in institutional research. We still have a vacancy in the Director of Institutional Research, and we are actively looking for someone to serve in that critical position for the university. That sums up our personnel changes, and I'll move on to our update on enrollment, retention, and graduation. This fall 2011, our Well, I'll start off with, last year, our enrollment projections for fall 2011 was an increase of 4%. This summer, we came back to the board and based on some changes around our academic dismissal policy, some new financial aid regulations that were coming up effective July 1st, 2011, we projected that there would be a 5% decrease rather than an increase because those changes would severely impact the ability of our students to not only pay for pay for school, but also if students aren't doing well, they wouldn't be continuously enrolled in college. So with that said, fall 2011, to date, our enrollment is down 6.9%. We have analyzed the data and analyzed the reasons for this decline, and we've looked at some of the numbers, and I want to share them with you today. These are still estimates, but we do know that they have impacted our enrollment. Number one, we know that we dismissed 298 students spring 2011 due to the academic dismissal policy. 37 of those students all of the students had an opportunity to petition for re-enrollment, according to the policy. 37 were accepted back into the institution after showing that they had met the criteria for reinstatement, and so that left 263 students who are not enrolled this fall 2011. In addition, July 1st, 2011, the federal government changed some guidelines around satisfactory academic progress, which used to allow students to have three opportunities to demonstrate academic progress as well as completion progress in order to receive federal and state financial aid. Effective July 1st, this guideline changed and it only gives our students two opportunities. So let me give you an example. If a student has a 4.0 GPA, and the last semester had two A's, had four classes, completed two A's, and then dropped two classes, then that student will fall into a category of having a 4.0 but a 50% completion rate from that last semester. That scenario, and there are many different scenarios, but that particular scenario would prevent a student from being eligible for receiving financial aid under the federal and state guidelines. The guidelines have always been the same, but our students would have three opportunities to get that together. And so our students now only have two opportunities to make that change. With that said, fall 2010, we had 102 students who were affected by this SAP policy. In fall 2011, we had over 415 students who were affected by this change. Some of the students were able to re-enroll, and so based on those students, if they re-enrolled, they had to pay for their classes. They could not receive financial aid. So our estimate now is about 240 students were affected by this change in federal and the financial aid guidelines, and that, of course, impacted our enrollment. Another policy enforcement or new rigorous change that occurred around the payment for students, if a student had to submit a payment plan or pay their tuition on their own. In the past, they would have, well, last year, we didn't drop them for non-payment. This year, we were very rigorous around that policy, and if a student set up a payment plan and didn't meet the guidelines of that payment plan or the terms of that payment plan, then they were dropped from enrollment. We had approximately 265. We had over 600 students affected by this. And let me share this. It's hard for a student if they're not able to get financial aid. They have to pay the bill. It's hard for them often if they already don't have a job. They may set up the payment plan, but they often don't know where they're going to get the money to put the down payment or to pay off their tuition. So we had over 640 students who were what we call validated or not validated, and they were dropped for non-payment. Fortunately, many of them were able to come up with the money, and to date, we estimate that about 265 ended up being permanently dropped for this semester. Another change that affected enrollment this semester was our strategy around our university college admissions. We're trying to move towards an admissions model in a university college that have our students enrolled part-time rather than full-time so that they can focus on their developmental education courses, get through those courses, and then move towards taking college-level courses in a more effective and timely manner. Often they take those courses and they're taking up financial aid and using their financial aid, and they're often not successful because they have too many courses. So we had about 58 students less than we had last year in our university college setting, and we're spending our time with 175 students who are enrolled, utilizing our retention efforts to help them be successful so that they can move on to their college courses. So with that said, we've had approximately, we estimate, and these may be some duplicate numbers, but we estimate about 700 or 800 students who were affected by some of the changes I've shared with you today. So that those numbers essentially make up the 6.9% or that decrease in enrollment. Are there any questions around the enrollment piece?
Point of clarity. The number of students in terms of headcount, it's my understanding that the decrease is, what, 510 students, which means that the disaggregated numbers that you just gave us, there's quite a bit of redundancy there. A student would be counted in SAP, and a student would also possibly be counted under the validation, so
could have
would,
been. Yeah.
Could have, thus explaining why there's a high number there, and that number is different from the 510 number, because some students were counted twice.
Yes, sir, or we might have could have had an increase in enrollment if these other, if the dismissal policy and the SAP policy changes hadn't occurred this year. Okay. Retention.
Look forward to hearing about as we move forward how we're going to address the need to increase enrollment and what your goals and objectives are for next year.
Good. I do want to share that we did have a 12-week special session, which was new for the university, and between the Office of Academic Affairs and Enrollment Management, we worked together to see what we can do as we saw the enrollment numbers moving in the other direction to give our students more time to pay, to capture new students in a special session, and just to pilot a 12-week session at Chicago State. We are still in the enrollment period. Actually, classes started Monday. And we netted or yielded approximately 82 students. So we did get some additional students to offset. I think the number was 600 before to offset the decline. And so now it's 510. And we will continue to look at some innovative ways to capture new students.
One thing that we're going to have to do is have some very intensive sessions with students. Students are going to have to realize that there's a cultural change with regard to attending classes, with regards to the academic pursuit. Even though we've had two town hall meetings with students already this year, and we stated it, to state it is one thing, but for students to realize they've been here 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, they're used to three semesters. And it's going to have to be a cultural change. They're going to have to realize that, guess what? I will lose my financial aid, even if I get two A's, and I drop two courses. That did not happen before. We are rigorously applying the federal policy, the state policy, and our own CSU policy. That is a cultural change that our students are going to have to get used to, and our faculty, and our administrators.
I think it also goes back, we were talking yesterday a little bit, but to the question of advising and how you alert students
yes.
to, at the time when they're making those decisions, that in fact they might be putting their
right.
career at jeopardy to by deciding to drop a course.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. it might be better for them to stick it out and do what they need to do to get through to persist.
Or to think twice about taking a course. You know, avoiding the problem altogether.
Advising is going to become like the core. We're going to have to take a hard look at it, and we're going to have to probably employ some software where advising is one thing, but software, there's some software programs that could actually keep a student from doing certain things in terms of selecting courses. Mm-hmm. And then it takes an advisor to override it, you know. You know, we're going to have to see what we can do in terms of not giving, not allowing human error to take place.
Okay, I think
We have a...
I just wanted to make a brief comment. At the moment, unless a student is dropping his or her last course, he or she does not need to see an advisor to drop a course. They drop courses online.
And that's part of what we're going to have to... That's
yeah.
that's one of the rigors, that, Lori, that we're going to have to tighten up.
Thank you.
I just wanted to also add a comment that this would be in my student report, but also be mindful that many of the students who are also dropped were students that, because of our non-traditional population, may have faced pregnancy, mm-hmm. having to drop courses because of that. Also, you know, this family things they had to leave for. So the law also inadvertently affects those students, you know, given that they have to drop an entire semester because of, you know, situation. So just want that to be on the table.
And, you know, David's point there cannot be overstated. The number of young ladies that came to us who had a child or whose child was sick. The law now does not take that
into consideration.
Not at all. I mean, the law pretty much assumes that every kid is going to be full-time from a family, from a support system where there are no children. I mean, it's like it rolled back history 30 years. And it's going to be a challenge. I've talked to some of my colleagues throughout the United States who are at other universities similar to ours. They have the same challenge. But we are going to address this. We're going to come up with some goals. We're going to figure out how we will not only address the cultural changes that must take place within our university at a number of levels, the advising, but we're also going to come up with some strategies to figure out how we rebuild our student base.
Very good.
Just briefly around retention, our retention to date is approximately 55%. The retention number is based on our fall 10 cohort who has returned, fall 11. The retention number we reported from our fall 09 cohort was approximately 62%. Based on the academic dismissal numbers, our increased enforcement of validation and some of the other changes, we believe that that number is different than the 62%, and so comparing the 55% to the 62% right now is difficult because the 62% has changed. And so we are trying to disaggregate some of those numbers so that we can come back to you with a refined number from the fall 09 data. Around graduation, we have our graduation figures for the last fiscal year. Our graduation rate, and this is good news, is 20.9%. compared to the last fiscal year, which was 14%. So that is good news to share in light of our enrollment decline to date. That's over a 50% increase. And we really attribute it to not only our faculty and the work of the students and the some of the enrollment changes or the aggressive changes around evaluating students who are eligible to graduate. But we also know that our retention initiatives around RISE and the early warning system has really made a difference, and we hope that it continues to make a difference and that it will impact the graduation rates to come. My next area is financial aid, the financial aid update. This summer we had about two or three articles in the media that addressed our academic dismissal policy and the 298 students who were dismissed, as well as approximately 449 students who were alleged to have received inappropriate state funding. And these are students who had a GPA of less than 2.0. there's been a lot of review of the data. We are currently still reviewing the data. I do want it on record that we came to you about the 298 students in advance when the dismissal policy issue came up. And although there were reports that someone else, that an investigation caused us to look at that 298, that 298 actually came from the review done by CSU. Regarding the 449 students who were reported to have GPAs less than 2.0, we don't dispute that we have students here with varying GPAs. We are reviewing that data. We are reviewing the entire file. When the article was dropped in the newspaper about the 449 students, that was the first we had ever heard about 449 students attending CSU with that data. We attended the Legislative Audit Committee preparing to talk about the audit findings, so that was new to us. So currently we are reviewing the data, and we plan to come back to you. I will give that data and that information to Dr. Watson, and he will be sharing it with the board as soon as we have a complete review of each and every file pertaining to those students who have GPAs less than 2.0 and who have received federal and state financial aid.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Mrs. Henderson.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last item on our agenda is any public and employee comments. Are there any public and employment comments at this time? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I was asked to be here for a resolution.
Wisconsin program?
This is the academic affairs meeting. Okay. It's around. All right, we don't want to leave anything out. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Different, huh?